Good morning to our listeners and our viewers here in Cape Town and from other parts of the world. You are listening to Africa Unite Youth Radio. This is our show where we highlight issues affecting the youth on a daily basis. I am your girl Kiza, and I'll be your host for today with my beautiful co-host,
Rosie. Hi guys, I trust and hope that you guys are well. We are back again today with another dazzling topic, which is Child Protection Week. So today we plan on unpacking what it consists of and everything that has to do with children and protecting them. So Child Protection Week actually started on the 29th of May and it's going to end on the 4th of June. But I really don't like the fact that there's something called Child Protection Week, because I believe it's something that has to be like an everyday thing. Like every day we're supposed to kind of advocate the fact that children are supposed to be protected.
But I feel like the government just wanted to highlight the fact that children, we should actually have a day or a month where we basically protect our children, because there are so many cases where children get lost, children get trafficked, children get kidnapped. So I just think like the government just wanted to highlight the fact that there are issues that children are facing and we should basically be educated about it.
Yeah, definitely. So what did we talk about last week?
So before we start, let's have a recap. Last week's episode was Africa Day, right? So with Africa Day, we basically did the street interview.
I literally just remembered.
Yeah, we did like the street interview. So we basically went around and just kind of went around to see if the youth actually knew what Africa Day was about. Because, you know, with the youth, they actually forgot. So they actually forgotten who they are and where they come from. So we just basically wanted to highlight that the youth are actually facing issues. They don't really know their identity. Because I feel like Africa Day, celebrating Africa Day is really important for us as African, because in Africa there's like different countries, so we just want to celebrate our differences, our diversity, our different cultures, our different religion, and basically what makes us African. And you mentioned something that there is one thing that makes us different, but there is something that makes us the same.
Yeah, we're different but the same.
So it can even be like with the food or with the way we dress, or even like the languages, because I feel like there are some certain parts in language that it kind of is the same with other language.
Yeah, and I think also on the video of last week, I think something also that wasn't kind of highlighted was the fact that the people that we spoke to, the food that we ate as Africans, it was the same. For example, all Africans, I think I came to a conclusion of that all Africans eat pap with milk.
Or yeah, like that's our staple food.
You know, that's literally our staple food. What you call this? There's something called samp with
samp and beans.
Beans, potatoes. It happened. All Africans eat that. There's okra. We know that Nigerians eat that. We eat that as Zimbabweans. So I think it's just, it's just,
I feel like with ice, like Swahili's okra, we basically name it Dongo Dongo, right? So it's like, you know, okra is that.
Wait, it's what?
Dongo Dongo.
You know actually what they call, what's the name in Shona? It's Derere. So it's kind of
the same, but not really the same. But I feel like all Africans love okra, because it adds that flavor within your dish. Like, you can even make it with any type of dish, even fish, even beef, but it just gives that that depth in the food, right?
Yeah. And did you know that okra also helps with giving birth? Like, it does something, because I had like this family friend of mine who she was like 9 months pregnant and stuff, and her mother was kind of making her like this okra tea, or the okra tea or okra syrup for drinking. Apparently it literally helps with,
it's more of like the immune system, because like my dad actually does the same thing. So he like cuts up the okra, right, and he like boils it, and then you drink that slime, that juice. It actually helps with the digestive system. So if you have like constipation, or if you're just struggling for your food to like break down, then you just have that. It's really healthy and good. So with that, the language of today is Spanish. So, guys, we're not fluent in Spanish, but we do have a tip boy here with us. He speaks Spanish. So I'm just going to start with my own few words of Spanish, which is Hola, ¿cómo estás?
¿Cómo estás?
Yeah.
¿Cómo bien?
No, that's French.
Okay.
¿Cómo estás? And then you can answer bien. That's good.
Sorry?
You can answer bien.
Oh, bien. Bien? So I was that's right.
Good. Yeah.
I was right, Kiza. So, hola, ¿cómo estás?
Bien.
all good.
Yeah.
What is the all good thingy that you do?
Todo bien.
Sorry?
Todo bien.
Todo bien.
Todo bien. It's all good.
All good. Yeah. Well, in Spanish, I actually like when they use cuantros, this cuatros, centros, no. This Peru, no. This Peru and ¿qué hace? Okay, it's fine.
¿Qué haces? ¿Qué haces? Is it? What are you doing?
You see? I'm good at this. So, yeah I tried.
You have experience.
Oh, no. But let's get right into today's topic, Child Protection Week. So, today we would like to kind of determine children and their place in society. And as we all know, is that children are actually an integral part of society, and as they represent the future generation. Without children, there's literally no future. And they are the ones who will inherit the world and shape it according to their beliefs and values. So we really hope that the values and beliefs that we teach our children are good, because literally that those values and beliefs will kind of be the anchor or the foundation of their future, so to say. Yeah, and I believe so. It's very essential that we provide them with a nurturing environment where they can grow and develop into being responsible citizens. So all we do is for the future generation, and that happens to be kids.
Yeah, I feel like I also agree with Rose, because as you mentioned, like, children are the future generation. The whatever you feed your children, that's basically what they're going to come out as, right? Mm-hmm. So children have a unique perspective on life. Like, they really look at life differently regarding to how adults look at life. Because, you know, with adults, we only want to see, okay, our job, our income, we have to pay rent, we have to pay all that. But children, they have, like, an innocent look into the world. Like, they don't judge something based on what they see it. They just have that innocent look. They have that vulnerable look. And this makes them vulnerable to members of the society, because you know how the society view vulnerable people. Like, if you're so naive in life, they'll take advantage of you.
Yeah.
And that is why I think, that is why we're celebrating Child Protection Week. And it's very unfortunate that children also face, like, numerous challenges in our society today, like abuse, neglect, discrimination. And the most cases is human trafficking. Like, child trafficking is a big case.
And sexual exploitation as well.
Sexual exploitation. I mean, if a predator find a child in the streets, right? And you know how children are. Like, if I have a sweet, then because I'm craving for a sweet, I want to get it.
Yeah.
So the guy will just basically take the child, because the child doesn't really know. She can't really determine between
danger and safety.
Yeah. So I feel like we as the
adults
or the future generation, we should actually kind of educate our children about safety and how to outlook for danger, and basically how to protect themselves, because, as you mentioned, children are the future generation.
Definitely.
If we're not protecting our future generation, what type of future are we going to have?
No future, like, literally.
Yeah, and
I believe we can't really stress this enough, that children are important, as they are this future of society. And I think it's very important that we recognize their value and significance in that regard. I mean, we know that they bring joy, they bring hope and innocence to the world. For example, imagine a new couple, literally, that's expecting their first child in the world. Just imagine how priceless that joy is, you know, awaiting the baby boy or baby girl, whatever that may be. So their curiosity should be nurtured, as it will help them develop into well-rounded individuals who can contribute positively in society. And again, I can't stress that children are important, because they represent our future generation and future workforce. I feel like I'm literally repeating the same thing, but that's literally how passionate I feel about this.
And it makes sense, because, like you mentioned, the children and the parents, right? That shows that since they are the future generation, we should basically educate them, and we should actually put more emphasis in the education, right? Because you wouldn't want to, have a child and then the child is illiterate, they don't know anything. So at the end of the day, if we want our society or our economy to basically rise up, right, we need to invest in the education, right?
Exactly. It's very important that we invest in their education now, so that we ensure that they have the skills necessary to succeed in a rapidly changing market. For example, now there's, like, robotics. So it's very important that we equip the children so that they are able to strive,
thrive.
Yeah, so that they are able to thrive in that society. And so, as again, children are important for many reasons, including their unique perspective on life. You've already touched on that.
Mm.
And their capacity for learning and growth. For example, a child can literally learn faster than adults, like a language. I mean, I had my niece, came from Zim. She was born in Zim, lived in Zim until she was like 8. She came to South Africa and then she started like studying.
Mm.
She went to primary. By the end of the term, I didn't mention that she didn't know any English when she came to South Africa. By the end of the term of her being in primary school, she was speaking English literally fluently. So I think that kind of emphasizes the fact that children absorb quickly and they learn quickly.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, like, because their minds are still young, they're still fresh. They don't have, like we mentioned, they don't have the stress that adults have. That's why they can easily adapt to certain things. They can easily adapt to languages. Because I know, like, languages are one of the most difficult things to actually learn as an adult, because we have so much on our plates. And just, like, learning a different language is just like, oh my word, do I really have time for that?
Mm.
So we mentioned children are very vulnerable, right? So many people ask, like, why children are at risk of kidnapping, right? So, like we mentioned, children normally get kidnapped because they're vulnerable, they're innocent, which makes them, like, easy target.
Mm-hmm.
And children are, like Rose mentioned, children are often unaware of danger around them, and they don't really recognize suspicious behavior or situations. Like, they can't really see if this person is not a right person or if this person is suspect.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be like, another thing which everybody knows, the physical strength, right?
Because
the child is small and you see a grown man and then want to kind of, you know, threaten that child. Of course, the grown man will have power over the child because the child is so small. The child don't have the physical ability to defend himself.
Yeah.
And that is what kidnappers take advantage of, because they see the weakness in the child, right? And that's why children are adopted. So they also say children trust easily, right? So they trust strangers. Like, for example, we mentioned with a sweet. We always see, like, in South Africa, there's, like, a rise of cases where children are kidnapped because a stranger was in a car and they offered them sweets, or they offered them...
Like, it's always like that.
Offer them, like, a candy or something like that. So as a child, I know I'm craving for that sweet. I want to make... Like, for example, they offered me a McDonald's. Like, I want that McDonald's. Of course, I would want to go in that the car of that stranger. So children are too vulnerable to actually acknowledge danger and if this person is safe or not. So that's basically what makes them a target of kidnapping, right?
Right.
And also mentioned technology.
Mm.
Technology is a big issue, right? Technology is a big issue. As we know, like, everybody, we put all our information in technology. We put our physical address, we put everything, our face, our location. So those kidnappers will want to kind of interact with us. And we as kids, or some kids, the youth, may basically think, okay, I'm chatting to my friend or someone that is younger or the same age as me, but you actually don't know that you're chatting to someone that is 50 plus older than you. You're chatting to a grandpa.
Yeah,
and then, for example, they want to meet up, right? For example, they want to meet up, and then you meet up with them, and then you see that is not the person that you're talking to.
You've been catfished.
And that is technology. And that is the reason why children are getting kidnapped, because of technology.
And now, as I was saying, as I mentioned, I think you didn't hear me because you were so deep.
I was so motivated in technology because technology is a real issue.
Yeah. TikTok. Do you see what TikTok has done to our children? Like, literally, this dance, I'm absolutely nothing wrong with the dance, it's absolutely fine. But I think the problem with TikTok is that somehow sexualizing children, or how children are appearing on TikTok, they're looking mature, groomed. And they're giving up a certain perspective or a certain image of them that kind of makes them vulnerable, as you said, to the predators or to the, you know, perpetrators and these pedophile men. So it's very alarming, honestly. It's very alarming.
Mm. Like with TikTok, you mentioned they basically acting like adults, right? I feel like it's not only the internet or technology that's actually a problem, but it's also the children, right? Because they want to give off that mature look. So they're giving basically a false image of themselves. I mean, as for example, if I was a young male, right, mm-hmm. and I see someone that's looking like, oh no, so good, right? Of course, I'd want to go in the DMs. So at the end of the day, we should also educate our children, make them aware of certain issues that can actually put them in danger, like technology. Technology is a big issue. We should also make them aware of being vigilant, right? Mm-hmm. Being vigilant so they can protect themselves against these risk of that's associated with kidnapping.
Yeah, and you know what technology has done to the children? Now children don't even play. You remember us growing up, mm-hmm. literally used to play like soccer, rugby, you know, used to play street cricket. Skipping rope. So it was so nice and so refreshing, and that kind of kept us young at heart. Now children, all they know about is TikTok, dancing,
Instagram,
posting.
They never actually give that time to interact with their friends or human beings.
And play and be young, literally. So I feel like the TikTok or whatever internet. I don't have anything against TikTok, guys. I happen to.
She doesn't have a TikTok account, that's why she's so like against TikTok.
I feel like it kind of has robbed the children of their playfulness and their childrenness and
the youth
or the youngness in them.
Mm.
Yeah. So then I think this conversation kind of leads on to how do we then protect these kids? Because we've mentioned that they're vulnerable, you know, they're naive, they all that. How do you protect them? And I feel like it's all rooted in the understanding of that their safety and protection is crucial, and it literally demands immediate attention. So let's just mention that there's sexual assault, right? Trafficking and other dangers. And other dangers that poses as a significant threat to the well-being of children. So how do we protect them is, again, the question. So firstly, I believe that parents and guardians
should educate the children.
Yeah, should educate the children about sexual abuse and trafficking. Mm-hmm. They should also teach them on how to identify potential dangers and what actions they can take to protect themselves. But also, again, it's kind of impossible for a minor child or a very vulnerable child to protect themselves from a very big, strong man.
It's all about the physical. At the end of the day, it comes to the physical ability. Because you can educate your child. You can give them the information, don't go in a stranger's car, don't do this, don't talk to strangers. But at the end of the day, if you see a stranger in the street, they will still catch you up. They will still drag you because you don't have that physical strength.
The stranger has.
Mm.
And I also think that schools should also play a very active role in educating students about these issues. I mean, we can organize. Africa Unite can actually, has it organized, I'm not sure call this, workshops to invite experts and talk about these dangers that children face. I mean, we can do that as in a way of honoring Child Protection Week, like literally. I mean, the law enforcement agencies can also take strict actions against perpetrators of sexual assault and trafficking. And the legal system should also ensure that those who commit such heinous crimes are punished severely. Maybe a death, what do you call this? A death penalty.
Death penalty.
I mean, it's kind of a bit too harsh, but it's kind of also understandable because they're taking away the innocence of the child. And that's one of the most essence, if we're taking into consideration.
As the legal terms also mentioned, that you can't basically assault a minor. So if you're really going to assault a minor, then you should get the
death penalty.
The death penalty or the life sentence. Because at the end of the day, this is something that you know you're not supposed to be doing, but at the end of the day, you still keep on doing it. And we know that human or child trafficking or sexual assault is a big case in South Africa the world.
And it's always the people that we know that end up committing these heinous crimes. And speaking of that, we know that it takes a village to raise a child.
Mm.
So I think in that regard, communities must also come together to create a safe environment for children. I mean, neighbors should look out for each other, you know, for each other's kids and report any suspicious activities immediately. Mm. Again, it's very important that we are mindful of who we let access to our children because we live in a very messed up generation and there's no telling what our most trusted family or friends are capable of doing. Check your child, like literally check in with them and create a safe space that they feel comfortable enough to open up to you.
Yeah, even if like they're not comfortable enough to talk to you, but as you mentioned, created like a neighborhood watch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where they would see like who's coming in the neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
who's someone that is not supposed to be in the neighborhood,
yeah.
who is your child interacting with? Because
yeah.
you do get the children that they involve themselves with bad people.
Yeah, bad people, and then they end up doing bad things.
Yeah, so
and
they end up
yeah.
corrupting your child and influencing your child.
Yeah, but in that regard, also, we have to note that protecting our children from sexual assault is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Like, lately, there's been things that are happening, like trafficking, sexual assault. The society has become a very unsafe place for children. And it's very important that we try our utmost best to kind of protect them from these dangers and these dangers actually require collective effort from parents, guardians, schools, law enforcement agencies, communities. Us, like, literally the entire country needs
protecting our children is
yeah.
not only by
one
as a parent,
yeah,
but it's about everyone, the whole generation.
Yeah.
Everybody should come together and protect our children
yeah.
because we did mention the children is a future generation.
Literally.
So speaking about the future generation, we all know that there are high cases of child abuse or child unsafety, which is child pornography, right?
Oh my God.
That is something that we are struggling with as a society, as a South African society, child pornography.
Bro, do you know cartoons are not safe for children to watch?
I'm telling you, the things that I see in cartoons is just like, hey.
You think they're innocent and pure, but they literally are brainwashing our children to think in a very sexual way.
A sexual, even like the music we listen to.
Literally.
Okay, no offense, Chris Brown is so good, right? But even like the music we listen to, like Cardi B, Nicki Minaj, like they kind of put this image that, okay, as a female, you should dress a certain way. As a female, you should act a certain way when you're around a certain
yeah,
male or a
yeah,
certain individual.
Yeah.
So that is the kind of like brainwashing, and it is also kind of leading to child pornography.
Literally, and everything has been hypersexualized. And I think it's going to be a very dangerous thing for society if the younger generation grow up having that hypersensitive sexual perspective on life. So yeah, it's very alarming. I mean,
like if I want something in life, I can just, you know, put on a short skirt and here I go.
Stand in the corner.
So like with childhood,
you're only getting it now.
Like with the child pornography, right? That involves like the exploitation of children
yeah.
for sexual purposes,
yeah.
right? It is a disturbing reality and it has been increasing, like not only in South Africa but also around the world, right?
Yeah.
And it has,
yeah.
and the question is like, why is it happening? Why is child pornography a big case? Like, we understand like the adults doing like the pornography, but why are you involving children? Why?
I think society lacks morality or moral. They don't have that moral compass. And I think because now we don't have a moral compass, we don't have that conscience that kind of guides us into, oh, this is bad, or we have to protect this or whatever. I think the more we are growing up and growing up as a society, we are kind of feeding up to the Western ideologies of individualism. And even individualism is a very selfish point of view to lead one's life, and therefore I think that's where these problems starts to stem from, like exploiting children.
Exploiting,
literally.
But
because
like,
you don't care, because I'm an individual, all I think about is myself, so why should I care about your child or this person's child? Because I'm kind of I've accepted and starting to live up to the whole Western individualism perspective and point
ideology,
of view.
Ideology, yeah.
Literally.
So, but it also firstly started with the individuals who were sexually attracted to children,
yeah.
right? And everybody knows those pedophiles.
Oh my
like,
God.
This,
oh
like, irritating, like, how can you just see a 3-year-old? How can you be sexually attracted to a 3-year-old? Like, what do you see in a 3-year-old? I would understand teenagers, yes, because like they're already going through puberty. They got
you're telling me to understand a teenager.
Listen,
sexually assault.
No, I would understand if a male, like a guy that's 20 plus years old, is attracted to a teenager because they went through puberty.
Right,
but
a
child that's literally like 3 years old or even 1 month old,
like a toddler.
You get those guys that are like attracted to a baby that's 1 month old, and like that they basically seek. Child pornography, like they desire, they feel satisfied when they're looking at those kids. And secondly, it's those people that actually watch. As those people that actually watch the movies, the people that actually watch the pornography, they actually, I don't know, how can you be entertained by a child?
I think it comes down to the thought, like when you entertain something, you end up seeing it to be fine. Like, for example, if I see that Derek's pen is pretty and I want it or whatever, I just start entertaining the thought.
Mm.
Entertaining the thought until I think, okay, until I feel, I see it as okay, me taking the pen.
But the thing is, I think they don't really, like you mentioned, they don't really realize that it's something wrong, because they don't really realize that it's something wrong. That's why they continue like doing it. Because as you mentioned, when you entertain something, you don't really know if it's right or wrong, right? So those people that actually watch, those people that actually watch the pornography, they're like, okay, it's, you know, it's nice.
No.
It's nice.
No.
It's nice.
Oh, no. Totally. I strongly disagree to that. I think people should listen to Candace Owens, how she strongly talks about how this society has just started normalizing things that shouldn't be normalized. Child pornography is totally wrong.
That's what I'm
Pornography as a concept is completely wrong.
I mean, that's literally what I'm saying. When they normalize something, it's like, okay, it's good, it's cool.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. There is certain individual that like, okay,
yeah,
because I'm used to the certain lifestyle, then it's correct.
Okay.
But because I'm not used to the certain lifestyle, then it's not correct. So it's basically about like how you view yourself as a person.
Yeah.
It all comes back to your morals as a person.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. This society, let's just include ourselves as well. Us as a society, mm-hmm, we have compromised moral. We don't have a moral compass that guides us. Our conscience has literally been compromised. Therefore, We can't even determine what's right or wrong.
And that comes back to the Western, because everybody's just so focused on the Western mind. Like, once you're brainwashed, you don't really know where you fall. You don't really know how to identify as a person, right?
Literally.
And we mentioned, once again, the internet has made it so easy.
Mm.
Like you mentioned with the TikTok, right? I'm a 13-year-old female, right? But I'm... In my TikTok videos, I look like a 27-year-old. So it's not only about who we are as the perpetrators, but it's also about the children and the parents. Once the parents don't educate the children that don't do this on the internet, don't do this on the internet, the children wouldn't, they're basically putting their lives in danger, right?
Yeah. Literally.
So in conclusion, the internet has made it easy for child pornography to be produced and distributed on large scales. Because you do know, on like YouTube or I don't know what sites people watch child pornography.
Bruh.
But you get those easy access. You can just copy it and paste and forward it and share. And at the end of the day, you're getting entertained. There's like lots of pedophile that's piling up to watch that certain video.
Bruh, I just remember something. There's a video on, I saw it on YouTube, so I don't know if it's from TikTok or whatever.
Mm.
But like, there's this video of I think it's a 3 or 4 year old eating a banana. They're eating a banana, but it's a very disturbing video how the child is eating a banana and how the mother is cheering the child on the banana. And then afterwards, I saw a meme that says people who are okay with their children eating a banana online are messed up, and the people who comment and be like, oh, she's so cute, or eating the banana, they also messed up and they're pedophiles. So I don't know if it's everything has kind of. I don't know, because also we are in a society that's very sensitive, so everything is offensive.
Mm.
But I don't know, it's just something that just came up.
It's all in the mindset. It's all in your certain morals. So if you believe eating a banana a certain way is wrong, then of course I wouldn't eat my banana like that anymore. Start cutting it in parts.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's all about the mindset, right?
Yeah.
And also like those people that post child pornography, they actually made it more easier by kind of hiding the identity of the perpetrators, and actually they would hide the identity of the people who's assaulting the children, but they will leave the identity of the children.
Why?
I mean,
what's the point?
I don't understand. It's just, okay, they want to see, okay, I am doing certain things to this child, but I don't want to be seen that I am doing this particular thing to this child.
God.
So in conclusion, it is so important for the society to take strong measure against this crime and protect our vulnerable children from being exploited.
Yeah.
Once again, as a society, it's up to us to stop this child
exploitation,
child violation. So we as individuals, even if you're not a parent, even if you're a sister or brother, you should educate your young ones about child protection. You should protect your young ones about who to associate with, because not everybody's safe. You shouldn't be friends with everyone. You shouldn't be all smiley with everyone. You can say no as a child.
Literally, and to combat this problem, I think it's very important that parents and guardians take an active role in monitoring their children online. Their children's online activity. Yeah. They should also educate themselves on the dangers of the internet and and teach their children on how to stay safe while using it. But if it was me, I'd probably never let my child have a TikTok or a phone.
Yeah, that's because you don't have TikTok, so you don't really know. What you missed out with TikTok.
Literally, stay away from it. And literally, and also, governments should also implement stricter laws to prosecute those who engage in child sexual exploitation. And I also think that the tech companies as well should also take responsibility by creating a safer online environment for children.
Mm.
But how? Because children can also lie about their age.
That's what I'm saying.
There are also parents who don't know about what you call this parental control thingy on these
social media platforms.
Yeah, so it's also kind of a tricky, But I think there's a message distracting me. How many minutes? Okay, no. I think there should also be like a penalty to be paid, so that I think people can take it seriously if their misconduct or their negligence of how their children are using social media will affect their pockets. I think they'll take it more seriously. So to conclude. I'm saying it's very crucial that we work together as a society to prevent child sexualization on the internet, and we have to take proactive measures such as educating the society and the children, legislation, and also included in the legislation, and also the technological advancements should also include or be mindful of the risks that children face with these advancements.
I feel like with technology, like you mentioned that children still lie by their age, but I feel like what technology can do, since it is advancing, they can basically, if you want to create a social media platform, rather write or send your document through your ID that basically represent who you are as an individual, right? So that, because that will actually lead to people not lying about who they are and their age.
Literally, disappearing kids in Africa.
Disappearing kids in Africa.
Do you see how this is like a lead on? Like, okay.
From trafficking to pornography to sexual abuse.
Even internet.
Because
you meet up with this person that you don't know.
Yeah,
and chances are, if you catch fished, there are higher chances that you're going to disappear.
And you're going to get trafficked. So. Yeah. With the disappearing children in Africa, that's what, once you said, it's a big case. It's something that we all, like, it's a case that's been, like, rising and rising and rising. Because,
sorry to cut you off. Do you remember there's an article on the Nigerian kids that, 14,000 Nigerian kids that disappeared that year. And I'm not sure if they were found or they were not found, but guys,
They were found, but then of course they were already violated.
Yeah.
Some of them weren't how they were when they were.
Oh my god, they were defined.
Yeah.
That's super sad. And we're gonna link that we'll link that article below. So just you can read it. Sorry. And
just find out.
Yeah.
How,
just find out how, you know.
What happens when children disappear. They're being abducted, they're being trafficked and forced into labor, and they're still leaving their families and communities devastated. Like you mentioned with the case in Nigeria, right? There was also this other case where you do get those people in the villages where they come, they say, okay, I got a business, they're like so successful, and they come to actually your house because you're unprivileged. They say, I want to take your child out of the country.
I've seen that in a movie.
You've seen the movie, but, right? Yeah. Like, I want to take a child out of the country so I can better their life and I can also better your life.
Yeah.
But then because you're unprivileged, you're uneducated, you don't really see the danger behind this. And those are actually the people that actually adopt our children and they actually put them into forced labor.
Literally.
So at the end of the day, it's all up to us as the community and as the parents to basically educate ourselves and educate our children about these certain things. Because if I'm uneducated, if I'm I don't have a job, right, and someone, a billionaire, come and tell me, like, okay, I want to take a child, I want to take a child to Dubai, of course you wouldn't refuse, right?
Literally.
Because you want to improve your life,
literally,
right? So the reason behind this problem is all about poverty, lack of education, political instability, and conflict amongst each other. Because I see, okay, your child is going to university, or your child is having a certain business, then I don't want you to be successful, or your family to be successful.
Yeah.
So that is one of the reasons that's behind disappearing kids in Africa.
But also, I think political instability could also be another reason. Because, you know, there's just... Because I think political instability leads to, you know, the whole poverty in society. So it's sometimes I think we've literally deviated from the children, because this is more of teenagers vibes.
Yeah.
But I also think it kind of goes in, you know. So because of that, they kind of try to look for ways to kind of succeed and make money. And sometimes those ways are very sad.
They're very sad, because even like with the political even go back into schools, right? Because you do get those, have those boot camps at schools, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in those boot camps, that's when the children get abducted, right? So it's all about how you mentioned political instability. If your country is not safe, if the economy is not safe or is not
stable,
they would do weird things to basically kind of put their life in order.
Yeah, and I think this kind of emphasizes the fact that political instability and conflict contribute, you know, to this problem. If you look at Congo, Congo is, and also is it Libya?
Rwanda, Libya.
Yeah, you know, they're having this political struggles, and there's like civil war and things like that. So I think in that situation, children end up being really vulnerable and being prone to these dangers.
At the end of the day, you're not safe. You're not safe at home. You're not safe at
anywhere.
At your house.
Literally.
You're not home and house, the same thing. You're not safe at school. You're not even safe with the government. So, like, how to address this these issues basically with the government, right?
Literally.
With the international organization, the NGOs, and as well as the individual. They should also include by providing education opportunities for children so they can break the cycle of poverty. And that poverty also leads to trafficking, right?
Literally.
So they should also provide stricter laws, stricter institution, stricter legislation against child trafficking, and more other reasons, and more other resources allocated to reassuring or rescuing children that are missing and reuniting them with their families.
Literally. And I think we have been trying to emphasize this fact that the safety of our children is very important, and it should also concern us all as a society or as a continent. And there are actually several things we can do to ensure their safety. Firstly and foremost, we must create awareness. I think we've already covered the whole creating awareness for our children, but I'll literally try to kind of run through it again. We have to create awareness about our children's safety and educate parents and caregivers and children themselves on how to identify and avoid potential dangers. We must also strengthen laws and policies that protect children from abuse, neglect, exploitation, and violence. And this also includes enacting stricter penalties, as you have said, for offenders who harm children, and providing support and services for victims. And we also should invest in programs that promote the physical and emotional mental well-being of our children. This includes access to quality healthcare, education, nutrition, and safe environments where they can play and learn about their fear. Sorry, and learn without fear. And finally, we must work together as a community to create a culture of child protection where everyone is responsible for ensuring the safety of our children. And I believe that by doing so, we can ensure that every child grows up in a safe environment where they can thrive and reach their full potential. So one step at a day to get our children to be
so
saved.
In all that, it's all about education, right?
Literally.
Educate ourselves, educate our kids, educate everyone about Child Protection Week or Child Protection Day.
Yeah.
Because this is something that in Africa or in the world is something that is an issue. It's a high rising issue.
Yeah.
And we need to be educated on ways to stop it and why we actually celebrate Child Protection Week. So
I'm sorry to stop you. Just a quick fun fact. Did you know that a child goes missing every 5 hours in South Africa, according to figures released by the South African Policy Service Missing Persons Bureau? So this adds to the total of 1,697 children, according to the Missing Children South Africans statistics, which is, and I think out of those children that goes missing, 77% of the children are found. So even if they are found, just imagine the condition they are, like mentally, physically, and emotionally.
Spiritually. Just like some people will be like, oh my way, like if God existed, why did he do this to me? Like, why was I abducted? Why was I sexually assaulted? So as you guys know, and as you guys can hear, we are really passionate about this topic and this episode.
Yeah.
And as we mentioned, we will have another follow-up on this episode to basically go in depth on this particular issues and why this Child Protection Week actually happened. Why is it important?
Yeah.
So once again, we just want to say thank you for all
thank
the
you guys.
Time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in and catch us next week. Once again, we'll have another interesting topic, an amazing and very informative topic. Please catch us on our social media at Africa Unite Youth Radio. And we have YouTube on Africa Unite Youth Radio and also on our Instagram at Mars Empowerment. Thank you guys. Bye.
Bye.